Aloha! Tonight we're going to look at how to play with the LRDG, that's the Long Range Desert Group. I'm going to be joined by Graham, but why not subscribe now to the show and get a wee note whenever a new show goes up so you never miss us. And remember, if you're looking to play the LRDG, we're going to put a little offer right at the end of this podcast. So why not go and subscribe now and listen to the end of the show. Aloha, welcome to the War Room. As we said, tonight we are going to be looking at the LRDG, the Long Range Desert Group. And I'm joined by Graham Hart from the Dunfermline Wargaming and Roleplay Fellowship in Dunfermline, otherwise known as Dwarf. Good evening, Graham. Welcome to us here tonight.
Evening.
Oh, it's all very nervous. Should have seen the number of takes I needed to get this all correct for you guys. But
about 30 so far.
But nothing is too good for the War Room listeners. So, Long Range Desert Group. In the Western Desert book, we have been able to play SES before, but in the Western Desert group, they get their own little section and their own little force. So, what's the kind of makeup of the Long Range Desert Group in the book, the Western Desert book, Graham?
In the book, it's mostly trucks and a little infantry. Occasionally, you get to, one of the lists, you get to pick some SES guys as you're basically being their taxi for them.
So, do the actual lists that you play in the Western Desert, are they armour platoons or are they infantry platoons that have trucks?
I would say it's mostly, they are basically like tank platoons, and you can have like 8 trucks in total in them.
Sounds pretty good. They're, so the list they've got are, we'll come on to those later on, but let's go on and talk. So they're famous for using trucks, certainly at the start of the war, and they were Canadian built. The Canadians built a large number of vehicles for use. And the it was civilian trucks that they, I was going to say modernised, is not quite the right word, that they
beat the crap out of.
That they configured for use for other uses, and one of those uses was for the Long Range Desert Group, for the British Army. They heavily armed them with machine guns and served in a wide variety of roles, reconnaissance, observation,
raids.
Looking, yeah, raids obviously, and attacking resupply lines, etc., for troops. Vehicles were mainly two-wheel drives.
Yeah.
That was to keep them lighter. The four-wheel drives, the advantage was they had four-wheel drive, but they were much heavier and therefore tended to get bogged down worse than the two-wheel drives.
Yes.
And then they stripped them down, basically got rid of all the doors. Mostly everything that they could get rid of to make them as light as possible. Anything that was non-essential. They put a bigger radiator and some other bits and pieces just to beef them up and make them more serviceable for desert use. And there we have the basis of them. Later on in the war they had slightly... they introduced Fords, which were pretty unsuitable because they were four-wheel drives.
I think so, yeah.
And they went back to Chevy trucks, yeah. Once again from Canada. They did have a smaller Chevy truck, which was the pilot car.
Yeah.
So basically that was issued to force commanders, sergeants?
Yeah, that'd be
I'm
the
guessing.
Troop command and whoever's in the troop command and sort of their second-in-command if the troops patrols had to split in half.
That's so, right, and they also used Willys Jeeps.
Yeah.
Especially... configured obviously for desert use, and again they would be given out to, you know, troop commanders and sergeants basically. So that's the trucks, that's the sort of beef of your army. Obviously they're going, the troops are going to be SES.
No, they've got their own troops.
They've got their own troops.
Yep.
Fabulous.
Little 3-man squads.
Mm-hmm.
Which you don't get very much in. You get a rifle, a submachine gun and a pistol, and you get one light mortar. And that's it.
And that's it.
That's your troop choice.
That's your troop choice. So, not terribly much there. So, you end up getting used to playing that. They've got a couple of interesting rules they have behind enemy lines, which I'm assuming is no minuses for coming on from reserve or outflank.
They get that, and
scouts.
Yes, the troops have got scouts they can forward deploy, but it's, I can't remember off the top of the head the rule.
Timely withdrawal.
Yes, they can advance back and shoot you, and the trucks, they can outflank on turn two.
They can. So the timely withdrawal rule is the rule where if you're assaulted, you can choose as a reaction instead of firing, and you haven't played a dice, you can choose to advance, presumably in a tactical withdrawal, and then you can still shoot.
Yes.
So your enemy really has to be within 6 inches in open ground to make a successful attack.
Yes.
But, yeah, you know, it gives you a few options to save those guys, because they are small squads, 3-man squads.
Yes.
But they do get well armed. So
maximum infantry you can have in one of those units is 14 in total men.
Can you have 14? So 14
men. 4 squads of 3 in the light mortar is 14 men.
That's very true. The light mortar, goodness gracious. So you've been basically playing LRG since the Western Desert book came out, I think, haven't you?
Yes. You didn't like me playing them.
It took 3 games to get used to them. Well, I think I got a handle on them eventually. That's what I'm telling myself. So, what is it you like about playing the LRDG? I'm assuming you like playing.
I do. I enjoy playing them.
Is it the look of fear on people's face when they haven't got a faintest idea what's going on?
There is that. it's more the idea of, you've got these guys, you basically have to keep them advancing minimum for some of the rules to work.
And yeah, it's so just
bounce about. Your opponent tries to shoot you and you can just basically go, bye, and hide behind the nearest building if you're lucky enough.
Yeah, so the rule you're talking about is the hit and run rule, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that rule states that when you advance and you do your shooting, if you're shot at, Or assaulted, you can do a dice check, which is a morale check, I believe. And if you pass it, you can then do a 9-inch escape move with a 90D creature. It's not technically an escape move, but hit and run. So,
and combine that with recce, and folk just tend to swear at you.
Yeah, so can you do recce and hit and run?
No, because recce, you go down at the end of it, and hit and run has to be in advance order.
Has to be in advance order, so it's not double recce, as it was known as, but yes, it's an extra get out of jail card, isn't it? So that's the one that you play on heavily with that list. So you like that aspect of them?
Yeah. And the fact is, everything in the army is 6 up, so everybody you're going to face is going to be able to kill it. If they hit.
So when you say everything in the army is 6 up, you're meaning everybody needs to roll a 6 to
Everything's soft skins. It's not as scary as first folk look when you just suddenly plump 8x amount of jeeps, trucks down in front of them and they sit there and go, what was that? Because you can kill it all quite easily, as some folk have been able to.
I'm sure we'll come on to that. But seeing as we're talking about the special rules or for fourth characteristics for the LRDG. So they've got behind enemy lines, which we've talked about. So if they're outflanking or coming in from reserve, they don't take the -1 to the morale check to come on. And then they have out of the blue, which is an interesting rule, which I'm sure takes one or two people by surprise.
Yes, you can start outflanking on turn 2, and depending on the scenario, even turn 1.
That's interesting. So what scenarios would make it okay for it to outflank on turn 1? Can you mind?
I want to say top secret. The one with you've got something in the middle to get. It's one of those ones.
Top secret, yeah.
Yeah, because it basically states everything counts as reserves start coming on as well as turn 2. And outflanking's a reserve rule, so you can start outflanking halfway up the table on turn 1.
But
some folk just tend to go,
a bit of chicanery, but yeah, I bet that takes some explaining.
Yes.
So is it fair to say that when you're playing LRDG, it's worth having a little chat with your opponent first, so he's not too surprised and calling for the umpire to come running.
Yes.
Yeah, excellent. So we've got the hit and run rule as well, which we've mentioned, but they also have deflate those tyres.
That means you can advance into terrain you're not supposed to be able to for up to 6 inches.
Yeah, rocky but it specifies it's
rocky terrain.
Rocky terrain, so you really have to be careful to specify that beforehand, I'm guessing, when you're playing games.
Yeah, because there's very few tables I've seen with rocky terrain not been a desert table.
Yeah.
So it's.
So do you call a ruined house rocky terrain? I would guess not, but maybe pushing it a bit.
But then you see a rocky scree slope, which sometimes looks the same as half demolished houses, so it's. Yeah. It's a difficult one, but.
It's a difficult one to get around. But, and the other rule they've got is desert fighters. What does that? I don't think that does a lot for you.
It doesn't do anything because there's never been any weather effects in terrain.
Yeah, so it denies certain weather effects like sandstorms and odd things like that.
Dehydration and the like.
So that's the special rules on the group. But you were telling us what you particularly like about playing our LRDG. Is there anything else that stands out for you with the Long Range Desert group?
I don't know, because it's just, it's the whole idea behind it is fun to play.
Yeah.
Against some new guys, I wouldn't take it because it wouldn't be fair to them. But against experienced guys like yourself and Brian, it's funny seeing you start swearing when you only get three shots or three turns.
It is. So, an interesting army to play. So, I suppose the alternative question to that is, what don't you like about them? Or is there anything you don't like?
Limited troop choice.
Yeah?
Yeah. And one of the things that I did read about in the book that I based an army on was whenever they came across tanks, they just unleashed all their guns at the viewports. Because I think it was in the desert they took the Italians at least, didn't have any glass at the viewports in some of their tanks, or it was very weak around there, and they could actually disable some of the tanks by getting their machine gun shots through there and taking out the crew. So I think it's just the whole idea behind them just being a bunch of absolute nutters. Literally.
Well, there is that to it. I'm not going to say anything that it's your particular personality trait or anything, but that's okay. So you mentioned there that you based it on a particular raid, would that be fair to say?
Yes.
So you did a little bit of research into it. Tell us a little bit about the research that you did for the particular list that you play.
I got my hands on the book SAS Ghost Patrol and by Damien Lewis, and that's about three raids that happened simultaneously on the one night, and they were hoping to retake Tobruk or at least blow up all the oil supplies there. But it kind of went a bit pear-shaped. They travelled 1,900 miles across a desert to get to where they were, and three separate raids all managed to hit on the exact same night when they were supposed to. And it was Commandos, SIG, LRDG, and SAS were involved in the third raid, but I don't think much happened in that raid that they got through quite well, so they're not really mentioned that much.
So you mentioned there the SIG. Not a lot of people might be aware of those initials.
No, that's a special interrogation group, and I didn't really know about them until I read the book. And they were mostly German Jews that escaped from Germany and were in Palestine, volunteered to fight for the British, but they were all trained up in Africa Corps tactics and everything, full uniform. They took the LRDG one step further. They actually walked into German and Italian bases to get information out of them, and this was the last time they were actually fully active as a group, because if they were caught, the best thing they could hope for was a quick bullet or a long drawn out slow painful death.
So they were kind of like desert Brandenburgers in reverse?
Yeah,
kind of. Yeah, you wouldn't want to get caught, but then I suppose the same apply to the commandos later on. But yeah, so presumably a fairly tough bunch of guys. So did they kidnap prisoners to interrogate, or did they just do it on the spot?
They just walked in and asked the officers for information they needed and walked back out again with it.
So either they were very convincing or they were fairly brutal.
A bit of both, I think.
A bit of both. So there you go, a little something we didn't know there. So we've got the list here that you played down at a competition much earlier in the year down in Blyth, in the north of England, the northeast, I should say. They wouldn't want to be confused with the northwest, I'm pretty sure. And it was a pairs competition.
Yeah, I paired up with Craig Brown.
So that would be Craig from the Home Guard radio podcast?
Yes.
So he must have done well. At one time he was running second in the Scottish League, probably third or fourth at the moment.
I don't know, I've not taken part this year so far, due to other reasons. We went for it eventually because we couldn't really decide on what we were going to play, and they wanted to know what we were doing, so we went for the list that I kind of put together to represent the raid as close and accurately as I could, and wrote to Ben, who was organising it, to make sure he was okay with it, because it was not your typical organisation what I was running.
Yep.
Just to really annoy folk.
So what was in your list? Because everybody wants to know these things. What was in the list?
Oh, I forgot.
You haven't forgotten. We've got a handy note here. So, you played LRDG.
Yes.
And Craig, I think, played Commando Force, basically?
He played the SIG, which we ran as SAS,
all right,
and
right.
Commando Force. And I played basically the guardians of the LRDG, which got them there. So it was interesting. We did have to change some of the rules slightly, and Ben said okay with it. I probably wouldn't play this again in this format, because some of the lists it just kind of ripped right straight through, and other lists it slightly struggled with, especially if you're going up against 5 ST-13s or 17s. So, yeah, we managed to get 8 dice and 600 points on the tank list. We took 3...
So that was the LRG side of the army, yeah.
We had one pilot car, which is your command car, and it had 15 shots out of the MMGs, because the amount of MMGs you can put on these things is ridiculous.
Yeah, well, it comes with one forward-facing, doesn't it, MMG?
Yep.
You can replace that with a twin-mounted Vickers for 10 points, and you can add a rear-facing pintle-mounted MMG for 15. So I'm assuming you souped it up with those.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's where you get all those shots from, because, of course, the K-gun gives you an extra...
One shot,
so... Yeah. So a lot of shots, a lot of bullets coming out of it.
We took the three artillery observer, but we classed them as a naval observer because during the raid on Torbrook, there was supposed to be a sea-based landing force, mm-hmm. which was full of marine commandos, and they had 2 tribal destroyers going as support.
Mm.
And had things worked, the tribal destroyers were going to give support from offshore to try and help take things out.
Yeah, makes sense.
We had them in. We didn't pick any of the pick your own national rules, but because we had the artillery, and Ben said okay, I ran 3 early Chevy gun trucks.
Mm-hmm.
Now they had 360 pintle mounted twin Vickers,
yep.
a forward NMG, and they had forward facing anti tank rifles. And we didn't give them any extra because you can only fire 2 guns, and if you're on advance order, you have to sit still on a fire order to fire everything they have.
Yeah.
And I took one.
All right, so that would be the overgunned rule.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maximum of 2 weapons may be fired via an advance order, 3 on a fire order.
I think you can arm them with one machine gun on every facing, and a twin at one of them, and the anti-tank rifle, so it just gets ridiculous.
Yeah.
We took one of those without the anti-tank rifle. No, I didn't have it. And then we ran a transport truck, which they can get twin Pinto Vickers as well, and one mm-hmm. Foot Patrol.
Just one Foot Patrol?
That's one Foot Patrol.
Yeah, we're severely undergunned there.
Yeah.
A timely withdrawal would probably be a help.
It didn't work.
Okay. And then, so what did Craig back that up with?
We backed it up with a normal generic platoon. He had a veteran second lieutenant, the free artillery observer again. He had 3 5-man veteran commando squads, 2 with SMGs, 1 with rifles, a 4-man vet SIG squad, which he ran as SES Desert in the book, all armed with SMGs, a sniper, and a veteran anti-tank rifle, and 2 veteran 3-ton transport trucks with pintle-mounted MMGs.
To transport them all about in. So you, because Ben allowed it, you played with 2 artillery observers.
Yeah.
How did the artillery observers do? Because there are some lists you can take 2 RT observers in, obviously, mm-hmm. British being one of them.
They did all right.
They did all right.
Yep.
Well, that's not a resounding confirmation of their efficiency.
It's been a while. They did all right. They did inflict the pins. They didn't do that much major damage, I think, apart from the first game, where they caused a lot of problems. But, yeah, they did all right. It's artillery observers there.
Mm-hmm.
Hit or miss.
It's an extra infantry man that you might be needing if you can keep him alive.
I don't think we did.
Don't think you did? Oh, what a shame. So, running the list, you played 3 games.
Yep.
So, how did the list work for you?
It worked really well in the first and last games. We met 2 guys from Leicester. I don't know if the Juggers know them or not, I'm not sure. And one of the guys had the most horrendous dice rolling I have ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we kind of just ran riot over them. It was an absolute hoot of a game. We enjoyed it. But even the other guy's teammate was like, I don't want to be with you because your dice is that crap.
Mm-hmm.
They were giving away 3 explosions. I think we got quite a few on both sides out the first game. And we won the first game quite well. And yeah, just going through it with what we had, they didn't really have anything that could really take it apart.
So that was one win up, and then you went into the second game?
Second game was, I think it was a French platoon, and with 5 ST-13s, and it wasn't Brian.
Yeah, and it wasn't Brian. Brian's one of the members from our club.
They out-diced us quite heavily. They were into the late 20s for the amount of dice they had between them. And it did take a while for one of the guys who were playing to actually sync in the rules with the LRDG, and we did explain them a few times, and we managed to get a very brutal draw out of it in the end.
Yeah.
Most of the trucks were blown up. The anti-tank rifles couldn't hit a barn from 2 feet away. It got very brutal. Lots of close combat, trying to avoid getting fired at by tanks, trying to shoot everything else. Got there in the end and managed to get a draw on the last turn because the guy unfortunately hadn't read the rules back properly.
Which has happened to many of us in our time, not reading the rules for victory. And so that was you on a win and a draw, and that took you into the final game.
Which was against Ben and another guy.
So tournament organiser was about to presumably find out what he'd allowed. Did he regret his choice?
I think so.
Poor old Ben.
His partner was running a lot of inexperienced troops, and he had a big, think he had a Tiger tank. I don't think we were able to do anything against it, or maybe in a Panzer IV, I can't remember off the top of my head. And kind of went through his troops very quickly. And fortunately we did the same to Ben. And the first 2 guys from Leicester and Ben and his partner, it was just absolutely brutal taking those trucks against that amount of infantry. It just went through them. But I think they enjoyed it.
Yeah. So 2 wins and a draw.
And put us second.
Put you second.
One spot above you and Brian.
One spot above myself and Brian. But anyway, so it was quite successful. So,
yeah,
having played through the competition and played with the your LRDG list quite a bit, somebody wanting to play the list, what advice would you give to them?
Definitely know your rules on the vehicles and make sure you really are paying attention to what's going on. Take it, have fun, try, and be realised if you're going up against a tank list or a list that's got quite a few tanks, you will lose your trucks quite happily to them. They do not like tanks that much.
For some odd reason.
Yes. Although, they, depending on what you face, they do give a good go and will stand up to most tanks. If you
well, they've got that recce, as long as you're advancing with them. Some of the time you can get out of trouble.
Yeah, they do have one truck with a light anti-tank gun on of it, but it's always a rear facing, so you've always got to have your butt towards the enemy. And it was trying to do that in some games is quite fun.
Yeah, I guess so. And so, on the other hand, somebody playing against this sort of list, what would you advise them to do?
Don't be in shock of seeing it on the table. And when you read the rules, it's quite easy to get around it once you actually realise what you're doing. Ambush.
Well, double ambush works better, I'm guessing. Well, it's ambush and then you fire at something else, yeah, so that ambush can get a shot, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So what we're meaning there, to explain it, is try not to shoot at the trucks with your first shot, because they're just going to wreck you out of the way.
Yeah.
Put that first weapon that's possibly going to kill them on ambush, and then try and shoot at the truck with something else, so that that weapon that's fired at them secondly, is that such a word, secondly? Yeah, we'll go for it. Secondly, it won't get the shot, but the ambushing weapon will get the shot.
Yes, and that should be enough to put pins on it at least, if not take it out. The list is very dependent on the terrain you can be on. So it's always pay attention to what you can do and stick close to terrain that you can actually get round. Because we play on some heavily set up tables up here, so it's quite easy to get out of the line of sight. Whereas some of the tables down, when was it the GT, some of those tables did look a little bit sparse depending on where you're playing, but if you play it right, you should be able to at least...
Well, that was the Warlord GT, which you took a similar list to...
Yes.
Well, much bigger list, but similar.
Yeah. I think I was maxed out on pretty much
everything
but infantry.
Yeah.
But probably even then. I think the only thing I didn't take was a light mortar.
So, guys, there you have it. That's how you play the LRDG, or alternatively, you play against them. That's how you play against them. So, we are going to leave the show there for tonight, but please remember to subscribe. Please share the show with anybody you feel may be interested in Bolt Action or the LRDG, or just two old farts talking away. So remember to subscribe, as I've just said, and we do have an offer on. So if you're going to play LRDG, if you go to thewarhq.co.uk and in your basket use the code LRDG19, you will get 15% off your basket of LRDG goodies. So take care, guys. Mahalo from me, and
bye-bye from me.